Oh, man.
It's going to be bad.
Where'd my gin and tonic go?
Yeah, it says badly trust us.
So, tonight it's mostly tonic.
Many shots? Already?
Already, Larry?
We used to start it with a shot.
We're guys at Games and Beer.
We did.
That's it. We got to restart. That just did it. Hold on a second.
Damn it, Larry!
He does not. Rules do not apply to you because you can't have the cartridge.
Right.
So right. Talk whenever you like.
Yep. All right, so let's go ahead and start this.
Alright, you ready?
Are you recording?
At three, two, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am recording. Thank you very much. Three, two, one.
Live from Racine, Wisconsin's fashionable north side, it's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah!
That was a creeper intro right there. It's getting creepier.
So, Rob,
what's going on today?
What are we doing tonight, Rob?
Hey, we're talking to Mike from Retro Magazine.
Not new Mike.
No.
He's back there somewhere.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. I'm on my second beer. I burned one, you know, while we've all been talking and everything, and so I'm trying to catch up to you guys.
Ooh, that's good luck. Good luck.
That is
my start like an hour or two earlier, maybe not even earlier.
Oh, yeah, as soon as we're...
15 minutes after
work. We start
work.
Drinking before we leave the office.
Nice.
That's true.
Okay, so...
I'm happy to be here. I'm glad you guys had us on.
All right, so who is Mike with? Say it again, out louder.
Mike is with Retro Magazine.
Thank you.
That's, by the way, Tom's job.
You see, I'm Captain Obvious. I have to ask these obvious questions, so...
And Dr. Enunciate.
Yes, that too. So...
Can I pepper?
All right, so...
Do I get to start?
Yeah, you got the cartridge.
Yes! Hey, so...
I still miss the shots.
How long ago... did you actually start?
The magazine?
Yep.
We started the magazine. Remember, we did the Kickstarter. We did the Kickstarter for it last fall. I think we started it in. I think it was October 5th. We were actually at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo the night before Kickstarter approved the campaign. So we actually ended up launching this thing in the craziness of prepping for this expo the next morning. And in doing so, we made a bunch of mistakes, in the Kickstarter, which I can talk about later. But before we did the Kickstarter, I was approached by a listener of my podcast. We do the Retro Gaming Roundup show. And one of our listeners heard that I wanted to do a digital magazine and kind of add it to the network of sites that I started creating with the auction site GameGabble. So he said, I hear we're wanting to do a digital magazine, but have you ever thought about doing a print magazine? And I thought, hell no. I mean, who the hell would ever think about doing a print magazine, right, in this day and age. So, but it turned out that he was already kind of a layout and design guru. He'd worked on tons of magazines already. And when he said he could do that for us, at least it kind of pro bono to begin with, I thought,
bonus.
Well, let's do a print magazine, So that's kind of when it started. And I think that was maybe that might have been in late August. Or maybe early September. So it was only about a month, give or take, before we actually, got the Kickstarter up and running and contacted all these great writers. And
dang, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, it was really quick. It was really quick.
Go.
It went from a gleam in our eye, in September to a finished magazine in December. So
7 minutes later.
Just right in the tissue. Just gleam in the eye, finish in the tissue.
Wow.
Yep. I love you, Ben.
Yep, I went there.
You went there.
That's my question.
Okay.
Newbat has a question.
Okay. Mm. What made you start your magazine? Like, did you not like any of the gaming magazines, or did they just not give enough information that you guys wanted, or what was your reason for making your own?
Well, initially, what I wanted to do, and for the last few years, I've been thinking of ways of adding content to the commerce that I've got with the marketplace. So I'm kind of combining, this media and the marketplace kind of all in one unique site that doesn't really exist these days. And so, I originally, started bringing content on online, and then it kind of spilled over into this magazine. And I don't know. I mean, I grew up, I don't know how old, some of you guys look like, I don't know, you might be, how old are some of you guys? Do you mind telling me? Low
40s.
40s. Okay.
50s.
So you grew up.
20s.
Yeah, with, yeah,
20s.
Okay, well, he grew up with, you know...
Teens.
Obviously, the EGM, the game fan, and video games and computer entertainment, probably even electronic games back in the early 80s, you know.
Love that.
So those were all just great magazines. I mean, they had some soul. They weren't these big corporate, you know, run magazines. And so, you know, we really wanted to create kind of an indie-style magazine that focused on these games that we all grew up with. But we wanted to do something a little bit different and also talk about new games that are coming out that are also retro-inspired. So we talk about the classics, the retro stuff, and we talk about the new games that are retro-inspired as well. So it's a great mix. You know, there's lots of, I think, lots of games that we're talking about in here that guys my age, if they weren't reading the magazine, probably wouldn't even know about. And games that, you know, they'll kind of harken back to the early days that they remember. And so we're trying to kind of be the voice for those types of games and those indie developers who, you know, might not get a front page, you know, or a feature run story on them in Game Informer or any of the, you know, EGM or official Xbox or PlayStation magazine. So we're trying to kind of be a voice for the indie developers and certainly anybody working on retro style titles, giving them, you know, the front cover. You know, our first front cover was Mighty No. 9. I don't think they've probably ever got another cover, you know, since then. So, and our second cover, I don't know if you guys get the magazine or don't you guys subscribe or if you guys been getting it?
I'm a subscriber.
So Retro No. 2 was the new River City Ransom that's coming out. Issue 3, which is going to print this week, has got Hyperlight Drifter, cover story on Hyperlight Drifter. So, again, these are just kind of games that aren't going to get a lot of press anywhere else, you know, at least in print. So we wanted to, you know, kind of, you know, add that to our bag of tricks as well. So it's, I think it's turning out pretty well, you know.
Oh, I love it. What? Your pre-quality, sorry. Your pre-quality is really excellent. I mean, how did you get a printer to do that? I have not seen actual, like, halfway decent paper in a couple years now. It's usually tissue paper.
Yeah, Mark Kaminsky, you know, my partner, you know, and creative director, he already has relationships with all these great, you know, huge printers in the country. And, you know, we really want to put out a magazine that, I mean, you remember the magazines back in the day, especially like Next Generation. I mean, the real thick stock covers. And I mean, we want this magazine to be something that people will keep and hold and collect and not just read and toss it, you know, like a copy of, you know, one of the you know, today's normal, you know, video game magazine.
I still have all my computes sitting up on shelves.
And like a hearty a hearty bathroom reader. It can take a month worth of reading.
I've read it in the bathroom.
And then it can come out of the bathroom.
Nice.
And be put on a shelf where it should be. Not next to the toilet.
I'm just happy that we have
So you got you come out in two forms. You actually have the print, but you offer just a digital-only subscription.
Yeah, it took us a while to kind of get that thing all polished up and presentable and working, but right now we offer it, you know, the print subscription is the most popular still, which doesn't surprise us, although it surprises a lot of people, you know, but I think, you know, if you could take print or a digital copy, I think, wouldn't you rather have a print copy? I mean, come on.
Oh, heck yes. I mean,
yeah. The online version is a downloadable PDF. You know, we are watermarking it, and we've had a lot of, you know, went through a lot of shit with that, but I think we got it to the point now where it's pretty unobtrusive and everything, and it's, you know, we're trying to protect our retailers. It's just something, you know, we had to do. I mean, we've all seen magazines, you know, get dropped onto issue or dropped here or there, you know, and it goes all over the place, and we may make the back issues available for free. That's something we're talking about right now. We really want these to get into as many hands as possible, you know, so it'll increase our subscribership, so I think, you know, probably sooner or later you'll come across, you know, links or promotions where we're giving away the back issues for free, you know, digitally. You know, we are on iTunes and Amazon and Kindle and stuff like that. We haven't got into Google Play yet, but that's sort of the next thing. But I mean, print, digital, online. Everybody that gets a print subscription also gets the digital for free. You know, so if you want to download it and you not take the actual magazine with you on the plane or whatever, that's cool.
Or in the bathroom.
I guess getting a fair amount of print advertisers as far as the print edition goes?
I mean, we've only got like 4 or 5 pages of advertising. One of the things right now is we're at 68 pages, which is most magazines are around 100 pages, 98 to, you know, 102, something like that. And we do, you know, have plans on increasing the page count, certainly for year two, I think. And actually, you know, when we're talking about running a Kickstarter for year two, we may increase the page count for that as well. But right now, like I said, 4 to 5 pages of advertising. We've had Ouya on there. We're selling the ads, you know. We're trying to get some first-party ads. We're trying to, you know, give Nintendo a deal they can't refuse. And, you know, how cool would it be to get a nice back full-page cover, you know, Nintendo ad or something. There's a guy that's making new Super NES games. He's got a lot of the Wisdom Tree titles and some of these other titles that were never released, and he's bringing them out in cartridge form and box form, and we're actually talking to him about inserting subscription cards in the boxes, like, you know, Nintendo used to do with Nintendo Power and stuff, and doing that as a promotion. But he's thinking about advertising, and again, how cool would that be to see a brand new SNES game, you know, advertised on the back of it? So,
okay,
I mean,
that would be slick.
For me, I really like, and again, I'd sell probably ads to almost anybody, but we're really trying right now, going after the people that we want in advertising on there. I mean, we got Wasteland 2 in there, Brian Fargo, and and we're trying to bring in retro kind of games, you know, so the ads aren't just crap, you know, that the ads are fun.
No.
Because, I mean, ads are fun to look at years down the road, right? I mean, that's one of the greatest things to look at in old magazines, I think, is the ads.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
You hated them back then, but now you just freaking love them.
That's it. So, literally, when we go out and do things like the Windows Gaming Classic and so on, we always bring, like, repos of all the old ads, because that's some of the coolest stuff you're going to find are all the advertisements for the games, the hardware, all that stuff that came out back then.
Hell, we run it in our
didn't episodes. Come out.
Yeah. Well, all of the advertising back today was ridiculous. You grab an old National Geographic, and it's just like, all right, here's a car from the 80s.
What's that have to do with gaming?
So, has to do with advertising.
Come on, bring it back.
I'm bringing it to the advertising, jerk.
You know, here at G2B, we have had a traditional topic over all of our episodes of what have you been playing? And so is there anything you've been playing just for fun?
I still play a lot of this. I do a ColecoVision podcast now, so I've been, you know, dusting off a lot of the old ColecoVision games. I've been playing a game called Threshold, which is kind of like a, I don't know if you guys remember the Astro Blaster in the arcade or Mega Mania on the Atari 2600.
I used to actually have the Astro Blaster arcade machine. Remember? We hacked that sucker.
That was how we turned into a main machine.
Yeah, we turned it into a main machine.
Oh, God, don't.
We left the markings.
sorry.
No, it's okay because we left all the markings open because I love the Astro.
Yeah, we just,
I love that. And I kept
just
the board.
Bolted out a new controller so we didn't destroy it.
I got you.
In fact, it was on.
Getting that ready for the podcast. I do a lot of my gaming, on my 3DS. It's just easy. I've been playing some of the BitBoy arcade and a lot of the 3D Sega games that have been coming out. You know, here they just are bringing out Run Out. I can't freaking wait for that. They really need to bring out Power Drift, though. I will not forgive them if they don't bring out Power Drift. what else? I don't know. I work so much, too. I mean, I've got a real job in addition to all the stuff I'm doing on the side, so it's just been really, you know, I just don't play games as much as I used to, so that's kind of a boring answer. But.
No, we know how that goes, too.
Yeah, it kind of happens. Yeah.
I've got an Ouya upstairs. Yeah. I got a PS3 upstairs. I got a, what else do I got? Oh, my Dreamcast is up there. My GameCube is up there. I just did pick up a new game for the Dreamcast. It was actually sent to us to review, and I haven't reviewed it yet, but it's a new kind of bullet hell shooter. Kind of done in a 16-bit style. It's freaking awesome. It's so cool they're still bringing games out for these old systems.
Yeah, and I'm seeing that ramp up even more, which is even better. More and more old. It's something, again, we did at the last Midwest Gaming Classic is, you know.
Oh, we did Flappy Birds on everything.
Really, Flappy Birds on every system. Timex Sinclair, Vectrex, Commodore 64. There are.
We voted and we determined that the Atari 2600 version
was the hardest version.
Meanest damn version of Flappy Bird ever made.
Really?
The most playable was the 64.
Yeah, the Commodore 64 version was the most playable version of Flappy Birds.
The Amiga version was really laggy. I thought it needed maybe AGA
it
or
was.
Something. Yeah.
The Vectrex version was a good version, but the Atari 2600 version of Flappy Birds is just the hardest game ever.
13, I think, was the highest. Wasn't it or something?
18 or something.
It was something
like
a low score.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, it is cool. We're big on retro systems. We own like everything amongst us.
Sure.
So it's great to see. I want to subscribe.
Just subscribe. One more subscriber right there.
Yeah.
The,
I've been meaning to subscribe, but while I'm talking to you, I'm going to subscribe anyway.
No, wait a minute. Don't do it yet. If you guys are if anybody wants to subscribe, use the promo code.
Now you tell me. I just subscribed. too
well,
late.
I didn't get that far yet. I mean, come on.
Well, give the promo code.
I'll reimburse you, man. If you've already bought, I'll reimburse you. But it's what we're doing is Long Live Retro. I think it's dropping it from $33 a subscription to $25, maybe.
So,
and then I Heart Retro is the other one. So okay. Anybody listening, those are sort of indefinite. I don't think we're ever going to kill those off. So even if you see us not mentioning those in the next year, we're always going to leave iHeart Retro and Long Live Retro up.
And
so
we will reprint those in the show notes.
Is that the what's the subscription? 6 months, year?
It's bi-monthly. So we're doing, right now it's bi-monthly. We're doing 6 issues a year. So January, February of 2013 was our first issue. I think if you subscribe today, like you're doing, you'll get in with number 3. But if once we go to print, which may be tomorrow, well, it's gonna be before Friday, then the cutoff, everybody that subscribes after that will start getting number 4. That's just kind of how it works, you know. So, but there's a chance that it's still maybe number 3, even on Thursday when you guys, when the show's live. So, if you're listening to this, I would certainly go and check. We'll put a note on the subscription page that'll let you know what issue you're starting with. And if we can, I can see myself on the big screen there. but yeah, I love Long Live Retro. I think is the best code we got going now. So it'll knock, from 33, knocking out. It's $25, guys, for 6 issues of the coolest gaming magazine out there right now. Delivered to your house.
And you get the PDF as well. So for that price, you're getting both the print and the digital edition. So you're good to go.
About a quarter of the price of Retro Gamer, too. Out of Europe.
Yeah,
that's out of Europe anyway, so who cares?
Yeah. Now our third issue is going to be an RPG-themed issue. We're going to try a themed issue.
So nice.
Hopefully people like RPGs. Actually, our fourth issue, I think, is going to be a platformer, and then we're going to get back to maybe 5 and 6, just kind of doing a normal kind of covering everything. But there's other things in addition to that, in not just RPG, because we cover arcade games and pinball, homebrew stuff, indie stuff. Also, stuff like the new Strider and the new, new games like that are pretty popular that are coming out, we're covering. So it's a great range of stuff. Some great interviews. We had a great interview with, Richard Garriott here in number 3. The guy that bought out Ultima.
I was in love with him for years. I almost didn't marry a woman. I actually almost went for, Richard Garriott.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom,
we made our own Ultima ripoff on the Commodore 64.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What were you telling me about, you really liked?
About?
Their site.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, for those of you who have not yet friended them on Facebook, you really need to friend Retro Magazine as well, because just for their factoids, you really want to friend them, because, whoever does your factoids does an amazing job. Those are really cool. I mean, this is...
Yeah.
We're all really big game geeks here, but even I found myself going, "Holy shit, I didn't know that."
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, those are actually Martin Alessi, the guy that was at Middle East Gaming Classic, does the graphic work for those. But the factoids actually come from Leonard Herman and Michael Thomason. So
brilliant
stuff. They're both authors and stuff like that. So yeah, they're full of those things. They actually have an app. I can't remember what it's called, but. If you probably wouldn't be too hard to find. It's a video game kind of trivia app that you can find that all of those are getting pulled from.
Nice.
So, yeah. Ooh. Yeah. But yeah, they're fun. There's some stuff in there I don't even know.
Yeah, well that's it. It's like
every once in a while. Yeah, you're right into something.
Like, all of a sudden it's like, oh crap, I didn't know that. I mean, and these are all games again that we came up with. So for us this stuff really hits home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're trying to, cover all the bases, doing that kind of, I think every day that one or two of those goes up on Facebook, and there's a new website that we're using now called Faves List. I don't know if you guys have seen this, F-A-V-S-L-I-S-T.
No, I never heard of it.
F-A-V-S-L-I-S-T, yeah. It was started by one of the first guys that was in Game Trailers. You got to check it out. It's a really cool site where, and I think our page is Faves List or Favs List. Well, it's Faves List. .com/readretro, I think. Or no, /retro magazine. And it's just another social network, but it lets you compile your own personal lists of top 10 this, top 10 that. There's a lot of video game stuff in there. It's a really cool site they're bringing up. And so we're starting to use that now.
Yeah, but I hate to say it, Metallica is one of the faves lists on that, really? Just, gonna throw that out there,
our
man.
Top 10 favorite Metallica.
Yeah,
games.
You know. No, it's like, it's pretty highly rated Metallica.
This is why we generally don't let Tom use his laptop during the show.
No, it's my job.
Yeah, you're breaking a rule. You're not supposed to have that.
I needed to subscribe to their magazine. Okay, yeah. Speaking of subscribing to your magazine, if somebody wants to subscribe, which website should they go to?
Right now it would be readretro.com/subscribe.
Yes.
And or if you just go to readretro.com, we got a magazine tab right at the top there, so you can click that and subscribe. It'll give you all the different options. It'll take you to the main subscription page where you can get the print or the digital, or it'll take you to iTunes and Amazon where you can get it there. So it's pretty easy.
All right. Wow. So again, that was readretro.com. We'll have a link in our show notes for that.
And it's already in Guys We Like.
Correct. You guys are on our website already anyways, but we'll add you in the show notes as well.
We got to, you know, scratch your back too, so.
Yeah, we like that, you know.
Yeah.
Rob really likes having his back scratched. So
in a creepy way.
Reach around.
I did not say that.
What do you guys think of the contributor team that we got? Is there anybody else you'd like to see writing for the magazine?
I was totally just going to hit you up about Scene Baby.
Yeah.
How'd you land him? I got to hear. It has to be a story, because he's a strange guy.
I called him one day and just said, I'm doing a magazine. This is what I did with all these guys. Like, I didn't know all of them. I knew like a handful of these guys. I knew Chris Kohler a little bit, and I had talked to Jeremy Parrish a little bit before. And Sean, I don't think I had talked with. But I kind of had this bullet list of people that I wanted to get, you know. And so.
Does he still wear the mohawk?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, okay. That's.
No, he's awesome.
I know. I didn't say it wasn't awesome. Yeah. He's just been rocking that style for a while.
Yeah, he's one of my. He's probably one of my favorite video game writers, just because of his. He's just got that funny style.
Yeah, you either love him or hate him, you know. But actually, I mean, I think he. I love his stuff. I love the humor, and I'm glad to have him in there. He kind of his. I think his column always is towards the back of our issue, where we have like what we call the retro rants. That's where we're putting him and some of the other folks. But I mean, you know, every one of these guys or gals that I reached out to, they're very excited to contribute. I mean, and in addition to them, we've had, I mean, probably, 50 to 100 other people that want to write.
Oh, really?
That come to us. It's insane. Yeah, every day we have people that want to write for the magazine, you know, so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's, you know, Andy Eddy, you know, for anybody that's a little bit older, he, you know, was the editor-in-chief of video games and computer entertainment back in the 80s, mid to late 80s, early 90s. Great magazine, one of my favorites, come from back in the day. And you know, Sean Baby, Chris Kohler, of course, Jeremy Parrish, Kat Bailey, Alexandra Hall, she does all of our copy editing. She also writes, too. She does the copy editing for official Xbox magazine, I think PlayStation magazine too, so she's pretty
busy. She actually still does all three?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's busy.
Yeah, but no, people just love working on this thing, you know, and it's, then we got Brandon Justice, he came over from EGM and Game Fan, and he's our editorial director, and he's just, you know, been kicking some major ass, and of course, again, Mark, our Latin design guy, I mean, you know, without him, you know, none of this could happen, so... It's just like the planets aligned on this thing. It's just one of those magical moments where, you know, somebody comes out to you and they say that they want to do this, and then that allows me to then go out and actually do it, and then bring on this huge other great cast of characters to come in and write for the magazine. So you'll never find a magazine or a website, I don't think, with the writing talent that we've got, probably ever again. So it was really fun putting the team together. And we actually, you know, if I get this thing big enough, I mean, I'd like to bring some of them on full time, get them writing on the website and everything else. So there's much bigger plans, you know.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Oh, wait.
They've got plans and motivated people. You have alcoholics and a camera. So it ain't going to happen.
Our rant specialist called in sick.
So, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Exactly it. So, all right. So before the show started, I need to move your head just a little bit to one side or the other. So you are sitting by a bunch of retro gear right now. So what do you got going on in the background?
Space Invaders.
All right. So here... Okay, I'll try to explain. So we got, just because I had this dead space up here, I used to have my Apple IIc sitting up here where the Mega Touch is, but now I got the Mega Touch up here. The Infinity Touch Master. The cool thing about the Infinity is a friend of mine used to work for Midway, and there's like a dozen prototype games on that thing that were never released ever on the system. I think it's probably one of the only ones that's got these games on it.
Okay, that's cool.
That's pretty cool. Commodore 64 is over here. I've been just going, the thing I've been collecting for most is the C64 these days. I'm trying to get every cartridge for that damn thing. And I've probably got 100 cartridges right now. I think I've got all the hard to find ones. I just love that. I got a crap load of discs for it. And it's set up. I always tell people, I mean, you got to get the shit out of your boxes.
Thank you.
Set it up, because otherwise you're never going to play it. So I used to have arcade games down here. Both walls were lined with games. And I just found myself not playing the arcade games as much. And so I've kind of pulled the games out, and I've started setting up my systems. And since they're out, I mean, I play them all the time. But before, when this thing was boxed up, I hadn't played it for years.
No. Well, that's it. Again, once you have it out and set up, so you can literally just go over, turn it on, and go, you're going to use it. All right, so wait a minute. I don't see which driver you're using on that one. 5041?
It's sitting over there. Yep, it's over there. It's not a Commodore monitor. It's some offshoot brand monitor, I think, but some color monitor. It's the one that came with it. There was a dude that was selling this on Craigslist out here. He had like 300 games for it, like disc games, and he had like 4 or 5 giant manila folders just stuffed to the gills with photocopied instructions. Sitting up there. And then this TV, this is like the best TV in the world. This, somebody at our condo complex just had this thing sitting behind the garage, and it just said, free, take it. So I was like, oh yeah, baby. I went over there, got my dolly, brought this thing over here. And this thing has got like 10 hookups on it. It's the most amazing game television. It's got like 3 like of the threaded antennas on the back. It's got like 5 of the AV, and then one in the front. I mean, I got like 12 systems, 10 or 12 systems hooked up to that thing.
DLP, it's right? It's an old DLP television, right?
Yeah, but the thing was like brand new.
Nice. I'm good with that. Inch. They're great for gaming.
Yeah.
There they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the games look great on it. You can make the screen big or small or whatever, you know. And then wrapping around, I've got just a couple shelves. We had a Staples go out of business, and I went in there and for like $5 bought this really nice metal cart, 3-shelf cart, that I got like 4 or 5 systems tucked away in that and a whole crap load of Atari cartridges. Wrapping around, I've got a Missile Command cocktail over in the corner. I picked that up out here for like $150.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, games growing
crap,
trees out here.
That's amazingly cheap for a cocktail table?
I have a friend in Washington, the guy I do my podcast with, they're in Virginia, Washington area, and he's just like, games just grow on trees in Southern California. And they do, man. It's just
games
are so
road
cheap
trip.
Out here.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'll bring a trailer out there for those prices, dude.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, it's insane. And then next to that, I've got a old 1969 Midway Stunt Pilot. Do you guys remember this?
I do not remember.
No, it's a projection. It's a projector. No, not a projector game. It's a mirror
mechanical
game.
It's a mechanical game.
With the mirror on the back, right?
The thing looks like it's 10 feet deep.
Well,
yeah.
Like the old skeet shoot games, right?
Yeah, but different. You have like a mechanical plane you flew around the, it's like a biplane. You fly around in a circle.
Yeah, you fly under the arch.
It's amazing. I know which game he's talking about. That freaking, you got one of those?
Yeah.
Functioning?
Yeah. Here, let me.
Yeah, you got pan over to that dude. That's
let
really.
I gotta walk over there.
That is a sweet piece of kit.
The rest
kit
of my basement or here is a friggin' mess because I got boxes of magazines all over the place.
This is video gamer porn right here.
Yeah, you're doing video gamer porn. We're good with this.
Let me get a light on here. I
gotta see this because that is really awesome.
So.
I love the old mechanical machines. There's a beauty that is just unbelievable in those.
Can you guys see that thing?
I sure the heck can. Oh my god, that is.
Get out.
Dude, that's in beautiful condition.
Oh, yeah, this is the only game I ever shipped in. This thing came in from like Wisconsin or something.
We're in Wisconsin.
Yeah, somewhere right by you guys.
It looks freaking mint.
It's the only game I ever shipped in. It's the only one. I got this like 6 years ago, and it's the only one I've seen since.
Dude, it looks mint.
But yeah, the thing has worked like ever since. I turn it on, but I just don't think you would get the effect.
You wouldn't because of the backlighting, and again, that mirror, that trick they do with the mirror. But wow, that is
an apple.
Sweet condition.
There's my Apple IIc. Sadly, on top of my Missile Command cocktails buried in like posters and video and I Love Retro bumper stickers and stuff like that. Then I got the Super Moon Cresta over here.
I still have one of those in my garage.
What?
Moon Cresta.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I got a garage full of arcade games.
And then the arcade PC main cabinet there. So
nice.
Yeah, so that's it. Well, then over here, We've got all the Atari box games.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of,
okay,
Nico,
yeah.
Handhelds there.
Oh, oh dude, this is Frogger. Frogger, yep.
I love that.
There's the Mattel. God, what are those helicopters? What was those things called?
Didn't that come with a board?
The Vertibirds.
Yeah, and then you had the little things you could pick up.
Yeah,
and
you could pick up people and rescue them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, this is nerd porn.
Yeah,
it is.
I even have a pet rock.
Oh.
There it is.
Wow.
Right? That was fresh from the swaps.
Oh, man.
1975. And he's still in there? Sleeping?
Wow. You assume?
Babysitting.
You assume sleeping?
Keeps me company in the office.
Nice.
You just let it
so anyway, it's
take
kind of a wreck down here. Usually, I mean, I used to have black carpet 13. And stuff down here, but then I had a washing machine upchuck and flood my garage, and ever since then I have not done that. But anyway, that was the room
nice.
Tour.
That was a really good nerd tour. Thank you.
Yeah.
Beer?
But, I hope to actually have an office one day, you know, hopefully.
yeah, dream on, dude. You got that many machines, you're never going to have an office. You'll just always have machines.
Well, no, the plan is to have the corporate headquarters somewhere out here in Orange County, and then I want to have an arcade in the office. I mean, you know, but full, the black light, the fan, the overhead machine fans, the friggin' snack bar, the pizza, the popcorn, the soda fountain, all of that.
Call it Flynn's.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the plan, right? That's the dream.
All right.
Turn it into
a dream.
Turn your passion into a dream. That's what I'm trying to. That's what I've been trying to do since like my whole life.
Well, evidently you're not doing too bad because you've got all that stuff around you right now. So you're definitely on the track. So I'm going to ask one more time: if people want to subscribe to the magazine, which website should they go to?
To readretro.com/subscribe.
All right, and we will again have that in our show notes. Your Facebook page is.
Read Retro.
Right, so just...
And Twitter is Read Retro.
Facebook.com/ReadRetro.
Yep, you got it.
The heck are we setting off now?
And we have set off Larry.
Larry, you're going off.
I know.
Oh, whoa, wait, Larry's got a pager. Dude, he's got a pager.
It's retro.
Wow. No, wait a minute.
Larry's got a pager.
No way.
Like, seriously. Like
how would that even work anymore?
He's got a pager.
You know what?
Are you still taking drugs?
See that?
Wait, no.
Wait. Larry, do you want
to
lap dance?
Now.
I'm half price. Wow, nice.
All right. Check if it's high first.
All right, so.
Let me tell you. I do want to cover one more thing real quick, and I'm basically going to blow the second segment with it. Because I do kind of want to talk about...
Talk about it.
I want to talk about Game Gabble real quick.
All right, yeah.
If I can get away with it.
Well, you can get away with anything you want.
Right. I want to... Now... Did this start with the Big Game Hunter YouTube station, which is how I actually ran into you the first time?
Oh, really? Well, no, I don't know what came first, actually. I was on a podcast with Shane Monroe, which I don't know if you probably listened to Retro Gaming Radio way back when, maybe?
I
did not.
Maybe
no?
A little bit. I've listened to most people's podcasts once or twice.
Well, he was sort of like the... first guy. I mean, he was doing podcasts before they were even called podcasts. I think, I don't know if some of those shows are still out there, but he had some amazing interviews, with a lot of legendary game developers and programmers and stuff like that. But so I started on there with a segment called Chase the Chuck Wagon. And actually, Game Gabble was originally called Chase the Chuck Wagon when I started it in 08. Basically, it was named after, what was at one point kind of the holy grail of video games. It used to be this monster expensive card like back in the late 90s, early 2000. And then they found out that a lot more of them, made it out into the world than what was thought. So prices, dropped.
It was disillusioning, wasn't it?
Yeah. But anyway, it was a cool name for, I thought, an auction site where, people are going to come on and look for these treasures and call it Chase the Chuck Wagon. But a lot of people that never heard of that game were like, what the hell is Chase the Chuck Wagon mean? So, but anyway, so I started doing the segment on the podcast was called Chase the Chuck Wagon, and then that's what turned into Big Game Hunter.
Oh, okay.
And I started using the 3D glasses or the glass. Now the glasses, I don't know if you guys know who Pete Doerr is, but Pete's the one I know, and he's like, man, you got to put on there's these new videotaping sunglasses. This was like 4 or 5 years ago. You got to get these things and just do that. And so I said, yeah, that sounds like a really cool idea. So the video quality, the sound quality was never that good, but it was still kind of fun. And so that's kind of when I went from doing, I used to do that on a podcast where it was just audio, where I'd go to the, you know, the vendors and negotiate, try to get really cheap prices and stuff. And then I graduated to the glasses, and that was when it, I think, became Big Game Hunter, when I did the glasses. And I haven't done one of those. I'm sorry for, it's been a long time. I used to go to the swaps every weekend. Now I go maybe once a month. I just don't have the time.
I've been so addicted to that because we have a couple of local ones, and you always find better crap than we find.
Yeah. Did you see that one where I was picking up like Panzer Dragoon Saga for $5?
Yeah, what the heck?
Dude, that was insane. That was all real. That was all absolutely real.
Wow.
I picked up like 15 Saturn, Saturn games. Everything was $5. And these things were all like brand new. I picked up like Michael Jackson's Moonwalker box. And I really got a weird box. I've had people look at that Moonwalker box and say they've never seen this box. Like, Michael Jackson is twice as big. It's bizarre. And it's like, and actually people have said that it's some rare, you know, super rare box, but that's the one I picked that up there for $5.
How many fakes did you get on that?
I mean,
fake! Oh, YouTube.
I didn't get any, but, you know, I had people just were pissed. They're like, I took the guy. I'm like,
right?
I gave him, that's what he was asking for them. I don't even think I dickered him down. I'm like, okay, $5. I mean, you know, you go. It's a swap meet. Nobody dickers. Why should I be any different? Because I know what he has? That's not right.
I think that a lot of people don't understand how many times you lose your ass on stuff that you take a risk on.
Right.
I've got Atari 5200 sitting in the back room that runs for about 20 minutes before it dies. It's in the box. You know, I was like, oh, it's an Atari 5200.
It's a beautiful box.
And it's beautiful, you know, but... Damn that thing! It will not last more than 20 minutes before it freezes
up. Yeah, no, but yeah, I mean, the swaps out here in Southern California are insane. It's like the arcade games. I mean, I picked up. I mean, there's been a friend of mine picked up a Capcom NES prototype. There was an unreleased prototype. I can't remember what it was, but like a dumbass, he put it on eBay for like $600. Buy it now.
And
it sold like
away.
In 10 seconds. And he's just like, "What the hell happened?" He says, and I'm like, "Dude, that thing probably would have went for $5,000-$10,000.
Sucker!
I mean, it was an unreleased Capcom prototype. You paid a buck for it. And it was one weekend where I didn't go.
Every weekend you don't go. You ever notice that? Every weekend you don't go.
Okay, so, but let's get back down to Gavel.
Game Gavel.
Yeah, Game Gavel.
Yeah. So then, I don't know, I just...
But, you know, Rob, he's always up on this stuff, but I'm not always up on this stuff.
He's in the 80s.
What is Game Gavel?
So Game Gavel is just like eBay, but it's just dedicated games. It's a site I started back in 08. I've not had a lot of money to grow and market the site. I mean, that's sort of, you know, I had enough to start it. I've kept it free and clear. It doesn't cost me a lot every year to run. And so it just sort of grows kind of just slowly. We add maybe around 100 to 150 new people a month to the site. We've got maybe around 11,000 members. It's sold. I think right now we're right around $500,000, you know, in the 5 or 6 years that it's been around. And we're going over a million listings, I think, right now. So it's, you know, it's out there. It's free listings. Free branded seller storefronts. If you're a business or just a seller, you want to put your picture of your collection. I mean, you get your own store page like you would on eBay. We take 5% commission versus eBay's 10 or Amazon's, 15 or 17%. You know, what I've tried to do is just give gamers a better place to buy and sell. You know, I just need to bring the traffic, you know. But we've had a lot of rare stuff sell on there. We had Atari Air Raid sell for $33,000 on there.
Wow.
That got picked up, you know, by IGN and all these other sites, and we had bazillions of people come, and we sold, I don't know if you guys remember that story of that lady who picked up a Stadium Events in a Goodwill back in Pennsylvania, like half a year ago or whatever.
Yeah.
She listed that on here. I think it went for about $18,000. So we've had some really, really great auctions out here or on Game Gavel.
You guys helped out Video Game Rescue, as I recall, too, recently.
Yeah,
they
recently.
Did.
Yeah.
They're friends of ours, too, so.
Yeah, it was a sad deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I said, it's just a great, I think it's a great place for I used eBay since 97. And in 08, I just was like, it's just getting so damn expensive. And I said, screw it, I'm just going to make my own site. And if anything, I'm just going to sell the stuff that I find at the swap meets there and just sort of making my own thing. And then, you know, people started signing up, and it got bigger and it got bigger and it got bigger. And right now, Game Gavel is the only dedicated gaming auction site in the world. I mean, there's been a few others come and go and try it and just never get it anywhere near as far along as I've got it. So, yeah, I mean, it there's no risk to try it, guys. So, I mean, if you got something you want to sell,
right,
and you're tired of eBay or Amazon or dealing with weirdos on Craigslist.
See, and the nice thing is everything's categorized, yeah, by, everything's categorized by system. Yeah. Again, these are people who, generally people who are selling on Game Gavel know what they're talking about. So when, yeah, they say something is in collector condition, it's in collector condition. If they say it's in good condition, it's in good condition. Not like on eBay where if somebody says, oh, it's in good condition, and you get it, and it's like, holy fuck, what'd you, yeah, do to this thing?
You know, it used to be on eBay, you'd get great deals, right?
People, yeah, not anymore.
Stuff, they wouldn't know what it is. Now, that those days are gone, you know? And I think people sometimes still go to eBay because they, wow, think they're just going to find a great deal on something.
No, no.
You know, like the parents, no, are selling it. But generally, people know what they have these days. So it doesn't matter, you know, where you're doing your buying and selling. Most of the sellers are going to be educated. They're going to, you know, price their stuff accordingly. Now, we do have people on Game Gavel that overprice their stuff. You know, just like on eBay, right?
Right,
it, yeah, drives me, yeah, nuts, you know, but I'm, yeah, not, you know, I can't really police that. I can't say, hey, you know, your stuff's way too high.
People, it just, can, doesn't,
you
know, sell. I,
right,
mean, you,
and
know,
that's it. Yeah. They don't, they sell it at that, sell, point.
You know, and that's the thing. You know, I'll have people come to Game Gavel, and they'll put, they'll bring two listings on, and, you know, they'll try to get, like, $20 for Super Mario 3. And it won't sell. And then we'll say, your site sucks because my cartridge didn't sell. I'm like, well, you were asking $20 for it. There's like 2,000 of them on eBay for $5. So it doesn't matter where you sell it. So a lot of times we get, you know, people I think come over and they try it. 9 times out of 10, they overprice their stuff. If you come to Game Gavel, I mean, we're getting 20, 30,000 unique visitors. They're all gamers. If you come there and you price your shit, like, accordingly, like you know what it should sell for, I would say you're going to have great luck over there. If you overprice it, it's not going to sell there. It's not going to sell on eBay, right, these days. It's, I mean, stuff goes unsold on eBay all the time, right? Look at all that stuff that just flies off unsold and it gets relisted, you know. So,
again,
I mean,
and again, and
can
again,
can you get some
and
good
again
deals on Game Gavel?
Yeah, yeah, you can. Because, oh, yeah, right now,
yeah,
right,
that's
now,
the other thing. People think that, you know, because it's all gamers, you're not going to get any good deals. We've got a guy, here's, I tell you what, we got a guy on there right now, Famicom Vink, and we're going to feature him in issue three. We always feature one of our sellers in Retro Magazine. He's an English teacher over in Japan, but he's got this just monster Japanese, you know, Famicom, Super Famicom, and, well, just total big import collection for us. He's listing tons and tons of import stuff, and his shipping to the States is like he was in the States. I don't know how he does it. It's the cheapest import stuff you're going to find. He's got like 300 or 400 or 500 auctions running.
Wow.
Just for example, he just sold... you know, like this, the Super Famicom version of Chrono Trigger, it was a buy it now of $2.99.
No.
So, I mean, you know, you can get some of these import games,
wow,
for a lot less, you know, than the U.S. versions, and they're probably in English, too, if you've got a converter or, you know, even a Retron, you know, 4 or 5 or whatever, or that.
Yeah, or that. Yeah, exactly.
I'm a big,
yeah,
old hack cartridge,
so, dude,
buyer.
You totally need to go on Game Gavel and just, and he's a great seller. He's built up like 50 feedbacks, like in the last, like, 2 months that he's used as a site. But if you're looking for import stuff, I mean, that's great. The other thing too is you can list homebrew stuff and proto, you know, that kind of stuff that eBay kind of doesn't let you list. I mean, you can list repros and stuff as long as you tell people they're repros.
We
you can
have
put that stuff on Game Gavel too.
Yeah,
we have a prototype.
Yeah, we
oh,
have.
Yeah, what do you have?
Yeah, what do we got? What do we got? We've got something fabulous.
Yeah, we haven't listed those yet anywhere.
We haven't listed these anywhere yet.
But this is a prototype, actually.
That is a prototype of our Vectrex controller.
Oh.
It's actually
an arcade quality.
Uses HAP controls.
Oh, wait, you said it's yours. Whose is it?
This one's mine, but we all have them. We built.
Oh, you built them.
We designed
a
Vectrex controller.
Yeah, we
awesome.
We prototype stuff every once in
yeah,
a while.
We
have a project thing that goes on every once in a while where we build something stupid.
So we got this will actually
be forward to another one of those.
This will actually
I
be
do have another one. Of
these will actually be labeled the Guys, Games, and Beer Vectrex controllers because
wow.
It was kind of when we were drinking one night. We said these little Vectrex controllers suck. So so as we're drinking, it's
let's
like
just make one.
No, exactly. Thank you.
Go out in the garage and see what we got.
the advantage of having a lot of resources. So no, but getting back down to the Game Gavel site. Okay, I'm watching right now. For all my Vectrex friends, there is one of the Vectrex kiosks, the store kiosks, $250 for
it's a repro. It's a repro, but that's Rick 63. He's a big collector in the Northwest.
It's beautiful.
Rick Weitz.
Now wait a minute, reproduction.
Yeah.
That's a reproduction though.
That's a reproduction. Yeah.
It's a beautiful reproduction.
Yeah. They only made like 10 of them though. But yeah, it's yeah.
Wow, those are amazing.
That's well, actually the original. You'll spend a grand or more.
Yeah, so he's only wants $250 on it, which is not bad. I'm kind of keeping an eye on that right now, actually. It ends in 23 hours, so I got some time yet.
He'll relist it. Nobody's bought that thing.
I don't understand why. It's beautiful.
It'll look good in the basement.
I don't have room for it, though. You do. I don't have room for it, so you should pick it up. So, yeah, we've been watching a whole bunch of stuff on your site. But Vectrex is our latest
Been really big on Vectrex lately.
Yeah.
Have you bought any of the new Vectrex stuff?
Hell yes. The new 3D out of... Medtronics. I'm sorry, Medtronics.
I'll play it towards you, and then...
Have you seen his new 3D?
That's a 72-in-1.
Oh,
that's a 72-in-1.
That's not the Sean Kelly one. Sean Kelly's, you can't get those anymore. Well, you can, but he doesn't make them
Sometimes.
We've also got the one that you make yourself.
Yeah, that's the new one out of, oh God, who's that?
Italy.
No, that's not of Italy.
Or Spain.
That's out of Spain. So.
You gotta get all your Vectrex stuff out of Europe.
Did you guys pick up Vector Pilot?
No, but I've been thinking about buying that one.
It's still for sale, man. I mean, it was a bargain. It was like $50 shipped over from the Netherlands or wherever this guy was.
Did it include an overlay?
Yes. He actually had three.
For $50?
Yeah, that was shit.
It's a cartridge overlay.
And it's every bit as good as Time Pilot, man. It's phenomenal. It's a beautiful.
So we gotta order that next, all right? So
yeah, Vector Pilot. If you still got them, I would. You know.
And I hear Moon Patrol is gonna be really good.
Which one?
Moon Patrol. It's supposed to come out shortly. Yes.
Better than the Atari version.
I think it's the same guy who did Time Pilot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, Warrior, if you guys remember the old cinematronics, like top-down.
Oh,
you
know. Yeah. So when is he going to release that again?
God, I have not a clue.
I want that.
Years ago.
I know. Literally. So we've been looking for that cartridge. I would pay a couple hundred, no problem. I wouldn't even blink an eye about dropping $200 on that cartridge.
Well, I prepaid it, and
you got one on order? Don't ask him.
Yeah, I've had it on order for
Don't ask him about it, okay? You know what happens if you ask him, right?
He gets really pissed. Dude, it's been 3 years.
He's
always advertising other games for sale. It's like, dude, maybe
he's literally gone, I'll refund your money don't ask him, dude. Don't ask him.
For you.
Do not ask him about that.
I'm gonna ask him tonight.
No.
He will set your shit on fire, man.
No, the Vectrex market's very funny that way. People are. It's just a very
as an aggregate.
But
there's a couple standouts.
There are a few personalities in the market who make life interesting.
They're artists, damn it.
They're artists. That's right. Don't talk to them. They're artists. So, all right. So, more about anything else you want to say about Game Gamble? Besides, people, if you haven't checked out Game Gamble, go
free.
There.
There's no risk. Sign up.
It's freaking awesome.
I mean, you know. List something, throw it on your Facebook page. You know, you got to promote your auctions these days.
Well,
it doesn't matter if you're on eBay or whatever. You got to promote your stuff in the forums and everything else. So,
right. Here's our problem. We don't sell anything. Once we own it, we never get rid of it.
Unless it's damn all broke.
We don't.
Larry and me are what we call end users. Once Larry or I acquire something, that's as far as it's going. It will never leave our collection.
Hey, wait. So that's not fair.
Yes, it is.
I sell it, and then six months later, I buy it again at double the price.
That's true. You do, actually.
I do some of my best shopping with myself. It's weird. I do a big raffle. We have an arcade party out here called SC3 like twice a year, and I always hold a raffle where essentially it's my house cleaner where I'll bring like 100 items. I mean, it's just all sorts of great stuff. And it's a $1 ticket, and you pick your prize. And I've given away Vectrexes and prototypes, it's a buck a ticket. And but I'll like be setting stuff out on the table and pulling shit out of my bag, and I'll pull something out and I'm like, I don't remember ever finding this or having it. And then it goes right back in my bag. I just did it like a week ago or 2 weeks ago when they had one. I think I picked like 3 things out of my bag and I kept them. I was like, jeez.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So,
but then 3 weeks later, I say, why did I sell that? And I want it back.
Things are lightning
guys,
speed.
Atari, like 8-bit guys?
Oh, yeah. Hell yes.
Yeah, right down here is the 7800.
I got my 26 and my 78 at home.
I got,
What about on the computer side?
I got a 520. So I went with the 8-bit route.
I picked up a touchscreen, or one of the guys there just gave me like an Atari 400, 800, 600, whatever touchscreen. And
what?
This thing looks just like it. Here,
I'm going to get it. Oh, yeah, I can see this. What the hell is this?
I had a 400. I didn't have a touchscreen.
No, but there was, I don't think that, I don't remember a touchscreen anything.
I didn't know this was a show and tell episode.
But I mean, the thing has got like
what the hell is that?
Buttons up here, and it's got a touchscreen here. It's called a touch tablet. Maybe it was like a drawing program or something.
Yeah, it must have been it looks like a drawing tablet.
But it's got buttons up here. I was wondering if you could play like Centipede with this thing, or Missile Command or something.
I've never seen that controller.
It's got the normal, 9-pin connector.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never seen one either, but somebody just gave it to me for free.
So nice.
Cool.
This is the best pickup.
It's like a huge koala pad.
It does look like a koala pad, actually.
Hey, I mean, there was some, back in the day, there was some, like, a lot of the stuff that you would buy back then, it's like coming out now, or it's like, it's like, I tell people that you used to be able to play games. Remember, like, the game line, like, over your phone back then? And people are like, really? On the internet? I was like, no, the internet didn't exist.
No, you called your buddy.
You know, and it's like, it's telling, like, young guys now that, about modems and stuff. It just, like, they just think of everything was the internet or something.
We both had BBSs back in the day.
Oh, did you?
So we met, yeah. He was Under the Universe, which was really huge, and I was a big old pirate BBS.
Yeah, so we combined our forces, and that's how me and him actually met, was through the BBSs. Yep. We started the BBS days, so.
Yeah, man, we're old.
All right, yeah,
going back to the magazine for a minute, I was sort of thinking, it takes me a while ramped up a little. So you've ordered and you've missed the print.
Yes.
Of whatever episode. But you've signed up. Can you get the...
we've got back issues on Game Gavel, but they sell out, you know. Like right now, number one is gone. Yeah. And I heard that number one has sold for up to $60.
Wow.
But yeah, do you get access?
Yeah, somebody in the Nintendo Age, I was told somebody over there phonied one up for $60, and somebody paid for it. I was
nice.
Like,
are you
kidding me?
Do you get access to the digital version, though?
Like I said, the digital versions, I think, right now, here's the deal. If you subscribe today for the digital version, it's going to start with the same issue the print people are, because that's how the subscription program works. Now, we do want to have a system where you can go in and just pay and get a back issue digitally.
Okay.
We just don't have it set up yet. And honestly, we may just decide to give them away, after 3 or 4 months, after they're that old. So
Larry's going to try and print them out and make fake ones. I can already tell.
No, I'm interested in the RPG one, but I'm going to...
Not if you buy it right now.
I literally just signed up as we were talking to him. You can whip out your computer right now.
I had a really busy evening plan.
You got the code.
You're probably fine.
That's right.
I have back issues up for sale on Game Gavel. It's this cover price plus. The thing is, it's like $3 shipping. So it's cheaper in the long run just to get the $25 subscription to get all six of them. Because when we ship them from our printer, they ship so much, it's like 50 cents. Bulk rate shipping versus $3 for me. So you're gonna pay $6.99. You're gonna pay $10 for one issue delivered.
If you go
for 25, you may as well.
Yeah.
Go for the whole shoot match.
So Mike, I want to have you one more time. Repeat the code to get that really good discount on your magazine.
Try either of these codes: Long Live Retro, or HEART Retro.
All right.
All run together, all one word. If you go to that subscription page, readretro.com/subscription, you'll click on option one, and that'll take you to our main subscription page, and you'll see a
promo code here, yeah.
Well, yeah, for the promo code.
Yeah, which I didn't enter, by the way, because I didn't know the code before I started subscribing. So,
hey, I'll tell you what.
No.
I will send you. Do you have issue number two yet?
I do not have issue two yet.
How about I send you issue number two free of charge?
I will take that, actually. So look for the subscription for Tom Dunn.
You got to email me your address, though.
All right, I will email you my
email
address.
Your address.
All right, and I will get episode two as my promo code, because that works fine by me.
Yeah.
Instead of ripping up mine.
Yeah, instead of doing more damage to his.
Since you didn't make it to the Midwest Gaming Classic, did you know that your magazine made it to the black box
of awesomeness.
Black box.
I think you do, don't you?
No, what is that?
We had a very amazing prize this year, and your magazine was part of our prize package.
Oh, like
it must have been one of your promo people.
Well,
they actually Martin gave us a copy.
Got it in there or something. Okay, it's probably Martin.
Well, Martin handed it to us, but somebody else lined that up with Martin.
Yes, yes. And
he knew we were coming.
Oh, okay. Maybe, so, well...
That was part of our amazing prize package this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, what we do is every year for the Midwest Gaming Classic, we have, like, a game giveaway. We just pack up a bunch of new stuff.
I mean,
retro
amazing,
stuff, though.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
We just find a little bit of everything. It's new. Yeah. No,
that
it's actually
candy
new.
Candy was new.
No, what candy was new?
It was new.
I would not... By the way, if you're out there, Doug, don't eat
Doug,
the Pac-Man bubble gum. Don't eat the Pac-Man bubble gum. I don't... It'll give you cancer.
It's like 20-year-old bubble gum.
That's really...
It was new, though.
It's new.
It's
new.
It's
like
in the box, but... Yeah, that stuff is like older than these guys.
Oh man!
Oh man!
All right, so anyway, Rob, I'm not happy
now. PBR time! Everybody, take a drink of PBR.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh damn it! I got red stripes still.
Bastard!
Well, you guys have really slowed the drinking down since we started. I'm a little disappointed.
Sorry about that.
I did have two gin and tonics.
Oh, wait a minute! Wait a minute! Move!
I'm empty too, though.
No! Look behind you! Wait a minute! Oh, you
that's
can't
a kill.
Get, but the audience can see.
Yeah, there's a kill count here.
We got a whole bunch of empty to go back here. We're not slowing down.
We can get distracted by geeky goodness, though.
Yeah,
so.
you have distracted us with geeky goodness.
All right, that's what I thought. That's good, I guess.
So, all right, Rob, so take us out.
Yeah, I am going to take us out. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We really enjoyed having you on. Remember, go to www.readretro.com. Come visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.com and check us out on Facebook because we're there all the time. www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer.
And you want to check us out there because we give away a lot of free crap. Okay?
We do. We
all
give away free stuff
Why
all the time.
Why do you have a free account for that stuff?
Because you're on the show, you don't get to have the free
account.
No,
he wants it for the stream. All right, you know what? We'll even give out a code on the stream next week.
All right, so watch Twitch next week, our Twitch account, because we will be giving away a free game on Twitch next week.
Thanks for watching Guys, Games, and Beer, or listening, which most of you do. We wonder why you do.
Oh, God, we do. All right, and wait, thank you for our guest one more time.
Oh, thank you again for coming on.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah, heck yeah. We're in.
All right.
Okay, hold on.
And we are out.